Welcome to Hey, Have You Read This? The weekly podcast will be discussing the latest books from the best writers. Like always, you are joined by writer and author Hayley Savark and publicist Madeline Ryan.
Hi.
This week, we are jumping into Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owens. Just some trigger warnings before we begin. This book does feature themes of profanity, child neglect and abandonment, child abuse, attempted rape, violence, possible murder, alcoholism and racial slurs. For years, rumours of the Marsh Girl have haunted Barclay Cove, a quiet town on the North Carolina coast. So in late 1969, when the handsome Chase Andrews is found dead, the locals immediately suspect Kaia Clark, the so-called Marsh Girl. But Kaia is not what they say. Sensitive and intelligent, she has survived for years alone in the marsh that she calls home, finding friends in the gulls and lessons in the sand. Then the time comes when she yearns to be loved. When two young men from town become intrigued by her wild beauty, Kaia opens herself to a new life until the unthinkable happens. Dun, 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 dun. So, Maddie, have you read this?
Boy, am I excited to tell you. Yes, I have. But before we get into that, a little bit of a backstory to this podcast. If this is gracing your ears, it is gracing your ears a week late. Mm. And the reason for that is because, like many, you know, rookies, we had an audio error.
We did.
It was absolutely terrible. Yeah, it was so terrible. We either sounded like whispers or what happened to me. I was like, oh my God, I can't hear. What's going on? And so I blasted my speaker up all the way, maxed out.
And then suddenly you were yelling.
And then all of a sudden I like laughed so loud into the microphone and I like threw my laptop. Mm-hmm. It was like one of those shocks where you literally feel like electricity go through your heart and you're like, oh, it takes you a minute to get over it. And I was like,
so here we are for the second time.
So it's been a moment.
We'll try to be as joyous as possible, as though this is the very first time that we are saying this all over again.
Yes.
But be honest, this book is so good that we don't mind talking about it again.
Oh, no, absolutely.
I think the
not.
First time we recorded it went for an hour, so this might actually be a good thing.
Yes.
You know, might have condensed.
We can be a bit more concise.
So tell me overall what you thought about the book.
This book is like 5 stars times a million.
Mm.
This is one of my favorite books of all time.
Yeah. Best book. One of the best books I read this year for sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Probably I read it a couple of years ago, but
yeah,
I've read this book about like 12 times. I read this book so often.
Wow.
It is really like, it's truly one of my favorite books. I keep going back to it. I don't know if it's because, I feel like there's a lot of different things going on. It's not just like, I think a lot of books, you know, they're just a romance, they're just a drama, or you know, like a crime thriller, mm-hmm. or something like that.
This had all elements.
It had a lot of those elements, and I didn't think it was like cluttered for that.
Yeah, we compared it to the week previous, which was
which is actually 2 weeks.
This is actually 2 weeks ago. which was The Lost Flowers of Alice Hart by Holly Ringland, and it is very similar in theme, I would say, in terms of like a drama. It does follow a lot of male perpetrated violence kind of thing.
We have a female
lead in
female lead who's like pretty much, they've both kind of been abandoned, like in some
child
sense,
abandonment.
Trying to figure out their life, trying to basically raise themselves.
Mm.
I described The Lost Flowers of Alice Hart as the Australian equivalent of Where the Crawdads Sing.
I agree with that,
and I think it's that mixture of like the beautiful descriptions of like the landscape in The Lost Flowers of Alice Hart. We get the landscape of Australia. We get like the outback, the beach, like country towns, and like a lot about nature. And in this book, we get a lot about like North Carolina. I think it's North Carolina or South Carolina. It's one of the Carolinas.
North Carolina, well done.
North Carolina, and like the marshland and the water and basically the like precious ecosystem that lives in that area.
Both very nature-based, romantically written.
Both very nature-based. I also think they both romanticize a location that hasn't really been romanticized before.
No. The marsh isn't attractive, let's be real. Like
to most of us, we're like, it's
mosquitoes
swamp.
And gross like
the first
insects.
The first line literally so says humid. Marshland is not a swamp. That's the first
I know.
Where like not first.
Well, the first sentence, yeah. And I'm like, yes, it is.
You're wrong, Delia.
Actually, you're wrong, Delia.
Actually, strongly disagree. And like with the Lost Flowers of Alice Hart, we're in Australia, which doesn't really get romanticised. You know, the outback doesn't, you know, I read that through a completely different lens.
Yeah, same.
I loved that. I really enjoyed it. And I don't enjoy Australian fiction.
No.
But alas,
anyway,
not
back to the novel,
Yeah. But we did love that book.
Yeah.
But yeah, very similar themes. And I'm glad that we followed up the previous book with this one.
I think it flows really well.
And speaking of like the marsh, obviously we have this, very vulnerable main character, Kaya.
Well, for a reason as well.
For a reason, yeah. There's a lot of shit that happens to Kaya throughout her life. Obviously, you heard the trigger warnings, but it's not... There's a lot of... As you were reading the trigger warnings, I was like, oh, crap, this sounds...
I know, I forgot to.
It sounds very heavy, and it is in parts, but it's not...
The novel's not about that.
Not to bring up Alice Hart again, but Alice Hart was quite hard to get through because there were really heavy themes, and I struggled with that. Whereas with this one, I don't know, I think maybe you see the beauty a little bit more. It's not as heavy.
I would say there's heavy scenes, but it's not heavy plot. You know, the whole plot isn't about violence. It's not about a girl being taken advantage of. It's about a girl in love with the land, and there's moments
and being raised by nature.
You know, there's moments where obviously it comes out what she's been through, I mean, which is only natural, like going to school, and she's bullied at school, she finds it really difficult to be at school, she can't read.
Well, she's from the marsh, and you know, like the first sentence is a marsh is not swamp. But basically she's known as like swamp trash because
she is,
you know, when you think of marshland, you do think of low socioeconomic, you know, shacks and shanties,
white
and
trash,
white trash. You don't think of like mansions on the marshland.
No, of course not.
And so, she has this bad connotation to her name, like straight away she's known as swamp trash and white trash.
Which is so awful because she obviously did not choose this situation. She literally was abandoned.
Yeah.
And all this crap happened to her, and like she's just in this situation. It's not her fault at all.
And so we've got that like
in
that
the background,
sort of that going through. And then one thing I really liked is that you're like one chapter you're with young Kaya, and then the next chapter there's an older Kaya, there's a possible murder crime investigation happening. I like that just juxtapositioning. Yeah. I know a few people were like, oh, I didn't like jumping back and forth. I thought
I thought it was really well done.
Didn't think it was confusing at all. No. And I think it went well with the fact that we're still learning about Kaya.
Yeah.
We're still figuring, well, she's still figuring out who she is. And then and then the next chapter, it's like, does Kaya have something to do with
this murder? Well, it keeps you guessing.
Yeah, like, one, is there
maybe
a murder?
She
Two,
murdered,
did Kaya have something to do with this? Like... And I honestly think that you don't. I didn't know how it was going to end.
No, I didn't know it.
I think it was really well done. I didn't think it was one of those. And I think the whole way through, you're like, she absolutely has something to do with it.
Yes.
And then you're like, oh, maybe she doesn't. Like you really
questioning yourself.
You are constantly questioning yourself.
I also love how in this book, that even though she's out in the swamp on her own, away from everyone, men still come and try to invade her
privacy. They find a way to ruin her day, don't they?
Let's go see this girl.
Yeah, like whether they're trying
to
catch a glimpse,
of
the
marsh
girl,
or
if they're, you know, just trying to be nice to her, lend a helping hand.
Well, she's also yearning for connection and someone as well, so it's not like this is like unwanted attention in any way, but she... You know, she learns about the world and relationships through animals. Like
I know we normally wait until later on to say our quotes, but I have a quote that goes really well with what you just said about relationships and yearning for connection. So she laughed for his sake, something she'd never done, giving away another piece of herself just to have someone else.
Yep.
Yep. That sums up so perfectly. It does, like, she up. And even she notices that she is not being genuine with these boys. Yep. And that it's not, they're perhaps not the right boy, but
they're both very similar.
She's yearning for connection.
Yeah.
She's been alone her whole life, and as soon as someone pays attention to her, she's going to try and, like, grab onto that and do whatever she can to keep that.
Yeah, there's, a quote about that that's, like, you would be with, or, like, something about a woman, like, she would be with anyone who was nice to her or something, like, anyone who showed her the slightest bit of attention.
Mm.
And, like, that's very much like her. But, of course it's going to be like that, though, because she's literally alone in a swamp. Like, she knows nothing else. Yeah. She has no one else. Like, of course she's going to be like, oh, this person's really nice to me.
But she's like, she's such a great and likable character. She's a little, she's naive to the world.
But her survival skills are insane.
But she survives by herself. And she, at one part, she's doing repairs on the shanty that she now lives in. Yeah. Like, she takes what she has and she makes the best out of it. And, you know, even though she gets bullied, she walks into town whenever she needs to and, you know, buys her grits and makes her dinner. She makes, and she, you know, obviously she doesn't just wake up one morning and know how to do that. She makes a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
In the early years. Mm. But ultimately she is fine by herself and she loves being by herself in that marshland.
Well, she loves living there as well. Yeah. Like, she's in love with the nature, and, like, it makes you wonder, like, if she did move, would she perhaps have found something else? Like, you know, would she be working a job or, like, whatever? Miserable.
That's so true. I don't know. It's just the best form of escapism possible, I think.
Yeah.
Just imagine yourself living in this shack. Obviously, there are some terrible things that happen, and it's not all, you know, sunshine and rainbows, but it's such a nice escape. And I, like, Delia Owens, she is just... So...
I didn't know this.
Hayley didn't know this. We had this whole thing. I was like, Hayley, do you know? In the first podcast, and told her this thing, and it was great. And
I do know.
Now, obviously, she knows because we've already talked about it.
But I'll pretend for the sake of the podcast that I don't know.
No, it's all right. And neither of us are good actors. No, I'm kidding, you are.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I know. I knew it as soon as I said it. So Delia Owens is actually a zoologist.
Oh my god.
What? You're kidding me.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, which is incredible. And you can absolutely tell that she knows what she's talking about when she describes the landscape of the marshland, and when she describes the ecosystem that's, like, abundant with life around Kaya. And, you know, we hear about butterflies and dragonflies and birds.
She knows exactly what to write about.
All the birds in this, you know, and Kaya's learning about these animals. And basically she's growing up by, like, the land is teaching her, the animals are teaching her.
She's learning by nature,
She's learning by nature because there's obviously no one there to tell her things.
This is Delia's first fictional novel, isn't it? Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, this is her debut.
Wow.
And it's incredible.
Yeah.
It really is incredible. I know we're not up to that part yet, but I'm also going to share another quote. On the first page, so I know we've already said marsh is not swamp, but I'm going to read it again. So this is the first,
just so everyone knows,
first small paragraph. And I think it sets off just how well she writes about this area, location.
Yeah. North Carolina.
Yeah. Marsh is not a swamp. Marsh is a space of light where grass grows in water and water flows into the sky. Slow-moving creeks wander, carrying the orb of the sun with them to the sea, and long-legged birds lift with unexpected grace, as though not built to fly, against the roar of 1,000 snow geese.
It's so good. You know, when it's, I first started reading that, I was like, oh, this is it. Like, you just know.
You're like, okay. Like, okay, get comfortable, and you're like, here we go, I'm not going to move for the next eight hours. You just know
in some books that you're going, this is going to be a poetic, very visually descriptive book. And it is, you know, it's not a long book. It's quite short. I think it is.
And it's very quick to get through.
Very quick to get to. You'll get drawn in. But like the way she writes is so visual as well, that you really feel like you're there in the land.
Yes.
With Kaya a lot of the time. And you see a lot through her eyes as
well. Speaking of nature, I feel like, and when I said this to you the first time we recorded this, I feel like you were like, oh my God, okay. But reading this book, I feel like, obviously Kaya is meant to be the main character, but I feel like the marshland is the main character.
Yes, are we saying this? Yes.
The marshland is not just a place where she lives. And, you know, in the first chapter, we just get a bit of background about where she lives and then it's on with the story.
Mm-hmm.
Like the marshland is equally as important to Kaya's growth as
everything else in the story. Thing. Yeah.
It's a living, breathing thing.
Mm.
And it has such an impact on her life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she makes so many memories there. She makes her life there. Yep,
absolutely.
Yeah, and like when there is nobody else there to teach her or be with her or connect with her, the marsh is always there.
Yeah.
It's just, it's such a, it has such a profound impact on her life.
Yeah, absolutely. It's her enemy, her lover, her friend, everything.
Yeah, yeah. Because Kaya's basically been raised by nature, she struggles to comprehend a few events that happened to her, you know, like getting her first period.
Oh my God.
No one's there to explain to her what that is.
I know.
And, you know, like the birds and the bees.
Like, reminds no me one's of like the Blue Lagoon when that girl didn't know what was going on. Anyway.
Oh, you can just imagine the terror.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and the birds, yeah.
And the birds and the bees, like she, no one's there to tell her these things. And so, like, basically, she looks to nature.
For an answer.
She sees, like, mating rituals, and she sees, I don't know, like, dragonflies do, like, this
dance
before they, like, mate or before they find their partner to, like, attract the right partner for them. And it's just so, like, again, you can tell how informed and educated
Delia Owens is.
Like,
absolutely.
You almost feel like, I don't know, I don't want to say, like, you're reading a textbook, but you feel like you are learning about the marshland through this story.
Yeah.
Like, you know that you're reading a fiction, but...
Yeah, I totally,
You, yeah, like, and it's just behavior. Such an interesting perspective to take on a lonely child trying to grasp some information from the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, like, she looks to...
Nature.
Yeah, she looks, like, out her window.
And she's like, oh.
In order to find the answers.
Obviously,
sometimes it works. Yeah. Sometimes she can, like, find peace and she understands...
Clarity.
She gets clarity and she understands solitude and she can understand some things. Obviously, things like the birds and the bees.
Yeah.
It's going to be a little bit trickier.
Yeah.
She
doesn't really get that.
She doesn't really get that. So I want to share another quote. I've already, I feel like we're
oh my God, you're 10 just minutes in
and I'm like, boom, 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 quote. The quote, like, it's a beautiful book. And
let
I think,
me, I'll bloody share my quotes then if you're going to do this.
Okay, so, yeah, so this one's basically about how she learns from the wild.
Yes.
Which is just such a massive part of it, so I thought I need to share. Most of what she knew, she'd learned from the wild. Nature had nurtured, tutored, and protected her when no one else would. If consequences resulted from her behaving differently, then they too were functions of life's fundamental core. Tate's devotion eventually convinced her that human love is more than the bizarre mating competitions of the marsh creatures. But life also taught her that ancient genes for survival still persist in undesirable forms among the twists and turns of man's genetic code. For Kaya, it was enough to be a part of this natural sequence as sure as the tides. Kaya was bonded to her planet and its life in a way few people are, rooted solid in this earth, born of this mother.
Mm, yeah.
If that's not like a beautiful tribute to nature, I don't know what is.
Yeah, it's a poem. You know?
It's poetic. It's poetic. It really is poetic. And yeah, I can't praise Delia Owens enough.
I know. There were so many moments in this book where I just would read a sentence or like read something and I'd be like, oh my God. You know, like I'd have to put it down and take a moment to be like, that is so beautiful that she's written it like that. I'll share a couple of mine. I had one about a couple about men, actually, that I really liked. This one, his dad had told him many times that the definition of a real man is one who cries without shame, reads poetry with his heart, feels opera in his soul, and does what's necessary to defend a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
There's also,
and I think it's uncommon that you do get, especially because this is what, it's set kind of...
I think it's 1960s.
60s? I want to say something. It's the 60s. Let me open... Sorry, you're going to hear me flicking pages.
I think it's 1960s, Carolina. Yeah.
Yeah, 1960s.
Well, so we follow her.
So I think we follow her for like a few, like
20 years, don't we?
Yeah. So yeah, 50s, 60s kind of.
Yeah.
Probably even
very 40s. Different, by the way. And I think we mentioned this, it's kind of coming back to me a little bit of how different that is, because a woman living alone in a swamp, or sorry, a marsh in the 1960s is like, what do you mean? She's not a housewife. She's not bearing children. Like, it's just so wildly different, especially not to be like, I don't know, discriminatory, but in a place like North Carolina back then in the 1960s, it would have been wild to do something that.
There was a lot of segregation. A lot of segregation. Obviously.
Yeah. Oh, well, obviously she has to touch
like,
on that. Yeah.
There's a map of the town in the front of the book, and you know, like there's the suburb where the colored people can live. And then like where everyone else who's off and white can live. And they're automatically seen as being
lesser than.
Yeah. Basically. Like, basically.
But that's a part of history. Like that's what happened, you know? So it's like one of those things that's like, well,
And Kaya's definitely seen, and it's actually interesting. Kaya isn't a person of color, but she does, spend a lot of her time. She's kind of mentored by, a black family in the community.
Yes.
And it's just coming together with me now. It's interesting that even though she's white, she still felt more at home with,
of course she did.
These people who had been ostracized from society rather than the white people.
She had been ostracized
herself. She
had been pushed aside. And so, you know, she was abandoned. She wasn't accepted for who she was. And like I said, like,
just because she was different, and it scared them that she was okay living by herself. Yeah.
I wonder how different it would have been if she was a man as well. Like, if she was a man living out there, would it have scared them as much? But because she was a woman, it was like, oh, not a woman living alone. That's scary.
Yeah.
Please don't do that. You know, like,
it was
against the grain.
Because they couldn't understand her, like, what kind of a woman could live by herself and do repairs on her house.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, she goes and, she...
It's human nature
To earn money, she, like, catches...
Oh, the pennies or something?
She catches,
Oh, not mackerel. Oh, what are they called? The little fish, shellfish thing or whatever.
Like little yabbies? Are they like
yabbies? And she sells them.
But she basically finds a source of income for herself. Like,
the smallest amount of income.
but it's enough for her to live her life, and she's happy, and then these bloody boys have to come along.
Bloody boys. I mean, I think going back to what you're saying, like, it's human nature to, like, not like something you don't understand or fear something you don't understand. Like, how dare you do something different to everyone else? Different to anyone else?
It's sad that no one in she's a child.
I know.
She's not even of primary school age.
She's literally
when we meet
a child.
She's a young child.
Yeah.
And no one in the community, and she's by herself, living by herself, and no one in the community thought, like, they're in their first thought is, why is she different? Why is she living by herself?
Yeah.
Why is she doing that?
This is a child who needs help.
This is a child who is just trying to survive. We should help her.
Yeah.
And that's...
No. None of that back then.
Crappy.
None of them back then.
Yeah.
Anyway, another quote that I really enjoyed was this one. Unworthy boys make a lot of noise.
I love that. Sounds like something I'd write.
Well, it's just... I think... I reckon Delia Owens wrote that and was like... Yeah, they do. You know.
She was like, ha, 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 I'm good at what I do.
I remember when I was back in my day. Anyway, most favourite quote that I liked out of probably the whole book was when Kaya first learns to read. The first sentence that she reads in the almanac that Tate brings, which an almanac is a series of different creatures and can be flora, fauna.
I think it's like a collection of
things.
Specimens or something?
Yeah, and it gives information, like a dictionary for...
Mm.
Kind of like a dictionary.
Well, kind of like a textbook, maybe?
Kind of like a textbook, yeah. Okay. Tate brings her this almanac. She reads from it, and she reads...
I feel like we should just say, so there are the two boy love interests. One is Chase
and
Andrews,
is Tate.
And one is Tate. Do we know his last name?
I can't can't remember.
Okay. One is Chase and one is Tate. You don't get last names.
One is Chase and one is Tate.
Read the book and figure it out.
Figure it out yourself.
We can't tell you everything.
She reads, "There are some who can live without wild things and some who cannot." And if that ain't an homage to who she is.
Well, she is a wild thing.
She is a wild thing.
She's, and you know, she is, like, she's basically perceived as one of the wild things in, like, one of the animals in, one of the creatures. She's a critter in the swamp.
In the marsh, thank you.
Well, it is a bit of a swamp.
It's a marsh.
Well, some parts of the marsh would be swamp. I'm not saying that the entire marsh is swamp. We get this very, we get, like, talking about the love interests, there's one very definitive bad boy and one very definitive good boy.
Always the case.
There are times when the two kind of cross over and they, you know, switch sides to say, you know.
I'd say switch sides.
They dabble in a bit of,
crime.
A bit of danger, a bit of romance. Like, you kind of don't know who to trust. And that's done purposefully.
Yes. As well.
Yeah, well, she doesn't know who to trust. Yeah. No one's ever told her about bad boys and good boys.
No,
but
she doesn't know, exactly.
Yeah, but
I think that we should talk about the news that has come from this book, which is that it is going to be turned into a film.
Yes, so I'm so excited. I've been following the filming process so closely, where we haven't even really seen that much.
COVID exists.
And also, obviously, they want to keep it hush-hush. I understand. But give me something.
give me something.
So Reese Witherspoon's production company, Hello Sunshine, is producing it.
Which is a runoff of her book club, is that right?
No. Well, I mean, I think
she read it for her book club.
She would get, that's how she would find the books, I'd say.
Yeah. Get on Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, basically. but I am so excited for this.
It's going to be a great film. Like, it's such a fantastic book. To be honest, when I was reading this, I thought to myself, this would make such a good film or even a short TV show, you know.
A miniseries, Absolutely. Just for that scenery. Yeah. I want to be there. I want to be able to visualize it.
Same with the Lost Flowers of Our Heart. Like, that's becoming a series as well. And you can read it. You know, like, you just know when it can become that. Anyway, who have we got?
So, we have Daisy Edgar Jones is playing Kaya, the main character. She was in Normal People. Okay. And I know she's been in other things since. And I think she really captures Kaya's innocence and vulnerability. Yeah.
I think the two main actors, like Taylor John Smith and Harris Dickinson, who both play Tate and Chase, look very similar.
This is what I said. Like, there's a picture that I think Reese Witherspoon posted with the cast, and I was like, I can't differentiate them enough.
Which one is which?
They look, one's kind of more blondie and one's kind of more brunette.
Yeah, but still they look like brothers.
They look very similar, and in my mind I envisioned them very differently.
Very different.
But in saying that, they're both very handsome. And I like that.
You've got to cast handsome men, otherwise people won't get to see the film.
I know.
You've got to have handsome men.
I'm very excited about that prospect. I'm excited.
I think it's going to be a great film. I think I'm really excited to see a movie like this because I really, really thoroughly enjoyed the book. And I love watching book adaptations come to life because sometimes they're done really well, other times they're done terribly.
Yeah, and I think, look, I trust Reese Witherspoon. She's done really well with her previous projects.
Yeah.
And one thing that I'm apprehensive about, right, is Daisy Edgar Jones is British, I believe. And she played an Irish girl, Marianne, in Normal People. And she was great in that.
Are you saying that she can't do a North Carolina accent?
The accent's a big thing. A lot of the book, like, a lot of the dialogue is written with a twang. Southern twang.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes you're like, this is fine. Like, it's very common sensey.
Yeah. Other times you're like, what is
Other times on? I'm like, what? And I kind of had to, like, say it out loud in a Southern accent in order to understand what they were trying to say. I was like, what is that word? And then I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I get that.
It's like in Outlander when they say the word can to understand. They're like, you can.
Yes.
And I'm like, yeah, you can. you can.
What do you mean?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, and, like, Southern slang as well that I think us Australians were a bit like,
yeah, what does that mean?
Sorry, what do you mean? I really enjoyed if anyone struggles with it, I feel like you wouldn't struggle with it, but the audiobook on Audible is really good because the girl who reads it does a really great southern accent for all the characters.
I saw the funniest TikTok today, by the way, about audiobooks. I have to mention this because it's book related.
Yeah.
This audio, narrator, that's the title, was reading a book out, and then halfway, she's like, this is why I always read books before I record audio, because halfway through the book, he's like, come over here, he said in his thick Russian accent. And she's like, Russian?
No. Oh my God, Russian. No. But how did no one, if she's been hired to do the accent, to do the narration, why has no one sat her down and been like, okay, so this is...
He's Russian, just so you know. Oh my God. How hilarious, I know.
And it takes a while to record an audiobook.
It takes a long time.
Yeah, it takes like a full week of like full days.
A long time. It can take longer depending on the book.
Yeah.
But anyway, your point with this is that
I'm just hoping that... Yeah, I'm just hoping that the southern accent is good.
Well, you know, she'll have help, you know, from good coaches. Although, I think we mentioned this last time, like with Sigourney Weaver.
Doing an Australian accent.
Because when
a southern accent is way easier than doing a good Australian accent.
When people try to do Australian accents, it's like, just stop. What is it?
They sound very Kiwi.
Yeah, and
when they try to do it.
It's like not
put another shrimp on the barbie.
$6 of fish and chips. And yeah. It's not, you're like, we don't sound like that.
Us. Close. $6
of fish and chips.
Yeah. Like it's very rare that you hear a good Australian accent.
I've never heard an actor who is like of another country do a good Australian accent.
They normally always
Kiwi.
And I feel like if they want to do it well, they always just hire an Australian to do it.
They just always, just get an Australian.
Yeah.
Just get an Australian. But yeah, anyway, like I think with the thing is, I think with British actors, though, the British and Australian, for some reason, we can do other accents really well. And I think it's because of the way our palate like is formed from our speech, like the way we speak, because we say stop and we really pronounce things a lot of the time, we're able to like kind of, we'll just have to see. I mean, I think they'll do a good job and I have faith in it. I think
I just keep hearing like a really bad southern accent in my head and I think that'd ruin it.
Same.
So I'm hesitant, but I don't know. Depends. Only time will tell.
You know, I give this book a 5 stars basically.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The movie, we'll see. I don't think I've ever given a movie 10 out of 10 in my life apart from Lord of the Rings.
Ooh.
Excuse me.
I'm not. That's not my style.
Oh, yuck.
I would give Notting Hill.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Little Women.
Oh, my God.
What else?
Oh, Scarface.
I'd say. What?
Yeah, come on. It's awesome.
Oh, my God. I mean, maybe.
The Godfather?
Yeah, maybe.
Like the classics, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, Lord of the Rings or something else. Anyway, we're going on tangent.
Yeah, back to I don't know how we got there. Who do you think would enjoy this book?
Well, book is very adult. I wouldn't recommend this to a young audience. No. I think it contains a lot of adult themes and you have to be an adult to, you know, understand.
Again, like, we said very similar things about The Lost Flowers by Alice Hart in that, like, I also feel like a younger audience probably wouldn't appreciate the nature aspect to the books.
And just the heavy
and
themes.
And also the heavy themes. Yeah.
I think as well, though, like, if you enjoy a bit of a crime mystery, not a thriller, it's definitely not a thriller, but like more of a crime mystery, then you'll enjoy it. So definitely the crime mystery lovers and also people who just really appreciate really good literature.
Yeah.
So if you like books that...
Good writing, good story, good plot, great characters.
It's not fast-paced though, do we say?
I think it's a very mellow read. It moves at a good pace. It's not like you're sat there being like, oh my God, you're just describing nature, like, come on. I think it moves at a good pace.
Yeah. It's not raving reviews. It's like everyone loves it.
And I think like I feel like she drops little like hints to do with the case so well. They're so well dispersed throughout the book that you keep wanting to turn that page.
Yeah.
You keep wanting to find out, did Kai have something to do with this? Did she not?
Exactly.
What happened?
And you don't want her to have anything to do with it either. You're like, oh, this poor girl is all caught up in this stuff. And
no, like, yeah. But it's really good. And then, like, towards the, well, probably about halfway, actually, there's a big trial. And, like, I really enjoyed that. Mm. Like, an old-timey, small-town trial where, like, someone's basically like, put on the stand and the whole town's against
them.
I really liked that.
I really enjoyed it too. So I'd recommend it. Like, if you like historical fiction and all of that, then this would be the book for you.
Yeah.
Go on. I'm surprised.
I'm surprised that Delia Owens, like, you'd expect, I don't know, like, you'd expect, so she obviously is a zoologist and she's trained in this. She knows her shit, basically. You would expect that she'd be really great about writing about nature and all that. But you'd maybe expect that the whole book would just be about nature.
No, it's not.
You know, if that's her forte, you'd think that she would just make a story out of that. But she's also made this, like, coming-of-age narrative about this girl, finding her independence.
Mm-hmm.
Even just, like, knowing who she is, knowing what she wants from other people, knowing what connections she wants to keep world.
So true.
But then, and she writes that so well, and then you've also got this criminal trial going on, which is, like, so different to what you think would be happening in this story, but it works. And she does it really well. Like I said, she does it so well. She's an excellent writer.
She is.
And it's not just because she knows about, the birds and the insects and the critters and the in the marshland.
Well, she's older as well. Delia Owens is older as well. And I think with that comes a lot of life experience.
Mm.
And so I feel like she probably really poured a lot of her life experience into this book, which is maybe why it's written so well.
Maybe she saw herself as Kyle. Maybe she was obsessed.
Part of it.
Well, if she's a zoologist, maybe she was obsessed with, marshland.
Living in the marsh.
It's so funny, but marshland does have this really bad connotation to it where, like, it's swamp. Yes. Like we said, it's mosquitoes, like smell, sludge. But it's abundant with life.
It is
such a breeding ground, and there are so much critters and creatures that are there and live there and thrive in that
ecosystem.
Yeah. And I really like that instead of highlighting the fact that it's sludgy and slimy and gross and wet and
She made it romantic. Yeah.
Yeah, she romanticized it.
Yeah, absolutely. She did. Yeah. It's literally, it's like my, this.
And that probably does come with age.
Yeah.
We're like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. True, true.
She's learnt to see the beauty in things that other people
haven't.
You know, this turn up their nose book at.
And The Invisible Life of Adelaide LaRue are my top books for this year.
Yeah.
Like,
I would agree.
100%.
I mean, I don't know if I can say that because this, I read this like a year and a half ago.
Oh my god, that's so
2 years ago.
Well, I mean,
I have read it this year, so.
Yeah. I mean, it's my, one of my top. Anyway.
It's one of my top of all time. It's an excellent read.
It really is.
I really recommend it. Well, yeah, I'll say who I recommend it for.
I think
that anyone who enjoys like a general fiction will like this book.
Yes.
And. Yeah, I just think everyone needs to read it.
I think everyone needs to read it as well. Like, honestly,
I know that a lot of books get hyped and then you probably don't want to read it.
Mm.
But this is one book that I think you should.
I think this is those like lists that are like top books you should read in your lifetime. This is one of them.
Absolutely.
This is one.
It's top three for me of all time favorite books. Like, it's that great.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's a great form of escapism.
Mm-hmm.
It takes you to the swamp.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's not trying hard. It's not, like you said, it's not too heavy. Even though there's this criminal trial going on, it's not like all consuming or anything.
Mm-mm.
It's still an easy read.
Yeah, yeah.
It's enjoyable. You want certain outcomes. But it's just, you truly feel like you are in, you don't feel like you're reading a story about Kaya's life.
Yeah.
You feel like you are either Kaya or you're like,
you're witnessing,
you're
what's
like
going on.
Staring over Kaya's shoulder as she.
Yes, totally.
Yeah. You as feel like when she's life. Sitting on the sand, running through the events of the day, you feel like you're sitting right next to her.
Yeah.
It's easy to dive into this book and be immersed in this book and feel like you live in that town.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very much. The imagery is very strong. Yeah.
It's beautiful. Yeah. I don't know how else to say it. I think everyone should buy this book.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. There really is nothing else to
conclude say. Conclude it with it's beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's about it from
that's
us.
It. We're going home.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, this is the second time I record this. Bye.
Yeah, fingers crossed that the audio, if you're listening to this, woohoo, the audio is great.
Hi, Steve.
yeah, hopefully the audio has worked this
time. Yes, hopefully. Yeah,
otherwise, yeah. I give up. I'm dead.
Yeah, otherwise, I'm not doing the podcast anymore. Yeah. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Don't forget to drop a review. If you have been enjoying the podcast, please let us know.
Please.
Follow us on Instagram. We're also there. Maddie's doing very, very well. I have not touched it. It's all Maddie.
You need to tell me that. It's all right.
It's all right. Anyway,
I'm also obsessed with books.
Yes, like, we're just very, very good at the Instagram. Mm-hmm. Anyway, join us. Really. That's okay. You're welcome.
So anyway, nice to each other.
Sometimes off. What do you call it? Off screen, off recording.
Oh yeah.
Like, we don't like each other off recording. Anyway, join us next week as we discuss The Duke and I by Julia Quinn, which is obviously the Bridgerton TV show.
Yes. Yes. Netflix, and we're going to be discussing a lot about that. We're going to be comparing a lot between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be good. I'm really excited.
Be juicy.
Yeah, it'll be juicy.
Juicy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Saucy.
Get me some of that Simon
Bassett. Rakish.
Love a rakish
Love
man.
Love a rakish man.
Yeah, well, thanks for joining us.
Okay.
See you then.
Bye.
Should be fun. Bye.